Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to another online worship service with Franconia Mennonite Church. For those of you who worship with us here regularly, you know that we often begin our services with a welcome and a call to worship. And as part of that welcome, we will often say something like this. We will say, this is a day that the Lord has made. We are invited to rejoice and to be glad in it. Well, friends, I would suggest that those words are still appropriate for us to begin our service with this morning. Even though we can't physically gather together, even though we can't be here in person, even though many of us have had our lives disrupted and upended, the reality remains that this day is a gift from God. In fact, in light of this situation, for many of us, that reality has been hammered home even more in the midst of this unusual time, right? We are no longer taking for granted the things that we had previously taken for granted. And so we recognize that this day is a gift. This opportunity to gather, even in this setting, is a gift. This moment is a gift. The breath that you just took is a gift. It is all gift. And as a people of faith, we want to recognize and be grateful for those gifts, and we want to give glory and honor to the giver of those gifts. Indeed, this is a day the Lord has made. We are invited to rejoice and to be glad in it together. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We also do want to say this here on the front end, as we sort of move into this new normal of virtual online worship services, we want to be very clear that church is not canceled. In fact, I would argue, biblically and theologically, that is not even a possibility. It is not possible to cancel church because church is not an event. Church is not any specific gathering. Church is not a building or a place. Church is the body of Christ. Church is a people. Church is you and I, us together, and the work of the church goes on. In many ways, during this unusual season, the ongoing work of the Church of Jesus Christ is even more vital and urgent than it has ever been. And so we want to be really clear, though we can't physically gather together, we can and we should and we must and we will continue to be the church together. Amen? See, now I'm imagining that all of you just said amen right where you're at. That's the beauty of this online thing. I can imagine you responding exactly the way I want you to respond. So we will be the church together. Amen. All right, having said all of that, one other thing we want to say up front here, a question that we have been asked a lot, especially in this last week, is how long is this going to last? How long is this virtual online-only kind of worship experience going to last? And the short answer is we don't know the answer to that question. We had originally said 2 weeks, last Sunday and this Sunday. That was following the lead of our schools, which were mandated closed for 2 weeks. It has become more and more clear and evident that this will last longer than 2 weeks. As you know, it's an evolving situation. More information available almost every day. What we know for now is that this will last longer than 2 weeks. We don't know exactly how long it will last, and we don't want to try to guess a date or put a specific time frame on this. And so what we are sort of officially saying at this point is we are going to plan to meet online like this until further notice. And so unless and until you hear differently, this is going to be the game plan. And we're going to continue to update you regularly every week with our normal communication. So our midweek email, website, Facebook page, we're talking about some additional channels of communication as well. So we will continue to update you, but in general, as a game plan, we wanted to share that here. We're going to forego meeting in person until you hear otherwise. All right, so we have some other announcements that we're going to share with you a little bit later, but at this point, I want to invite you to participate in a call to worship. I found myself yesterday reflecting on the words of Psalm 31, which just felt particularly appropriate for the moment in which we find ourselves. And so as we begin our time this morning, I would love for our whole church to hear these words. And I would love if you would, right where you're at, right now, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I would love it if you would actually stand up as we hear these words. So if you're in your kitchen, your living room, your bedroom, if you're with your family, if you're watching this on Monday in your office because you are an essential employee, stand up right in your office. Everybody stand up and listen to these words from Psalm 31. I've modified this language just slightly to make this plural language rather than singular. But hear these words on behalf of all of us as we come to worship God. Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5. Says, in you, Lord, we have taken refuge. Let us never be put to shame. Deliver us in your righteousness. Turn your ear to us. Come quickly to our rescue. Be our rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save us. Since you are our rock and our fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide us. Keep us free from the trap that is set for us, for you are our refuge. Into your hands we commit our spirits. Deliver us, Lord, our faithful God. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's take a moment and pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you as confused, weak, and sinful humans. We are so thankful, God, that we have a good, good Father, that is you. We are so thankful, Father, that we have you to lean on. We are so thankful that in the midst of our trials and temptations, you are greater. We thank you that we can build our hope on nothing less than Jesus, your Son. Father, we are a confused world right now. We ask you, Lord, to pour out your blessing upon this world. We ask you to use us, your church, as your vessels, to make known your name so that every knee will bow, acknowledging that you are Lord over all, that you are the one true God from everlasting to everlasting. We, Lord Jesus, are weak. With the rapid spread of this coronavirus, we admit that it makes us uneasy. Take this away from us. Holy Spirit, give us strength that alone comes from you. We pray for those that are close to us, the community and the world, those that are dealing with sickness, financial struggles, relationship issues, and so much more. May they seek your comfort, Lord. May they turn to you, Lord Jesus, our Savior. Oh God, we admit that we are sinful humans. With everything that is going on in the world today, Lord, I pray that people turn to you. We take a moment in silence to bring forth our confessions to you, Lord. Psalm 42 says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. God, have mercy on us. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, and make us whiter than snow. We pray for the world to develop a hunger, a thirst, a desire for you, for your word. Please, O God, now more than ever, may we have a hunger for your word, for the truth, Lord Jesus, for you are the way, the truth, and the light. We thank you, God, for the resources we have as a church to record this service and post it at a normal time. We pray for all who are watching this, that they may feel your power. Psalm 50, the mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to wherever it sets. Summon us, God. We are your people. ready to obey your command. May we, your church, shine your light brightly to the world today, a dark world that is desperate for your light. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, thank you, Kyle. We have a number of announcements that we want to share with you at this time. First, just to update you on a couple of events that were scheduled to take place in the next few weeks that unfortunately will not be taking place. There was an MDS trip, Mennonite Disaster Service trip, that was supposed to take place this month. That trip is currently off. Although a few folks have wondered about the Bethany Birch's family mission trip that was scheduled for the end of May, that is currently still on. We're obviously evaluating the situation. We will let you know if anything changes with that. But currently the MDS trip is off, the Bethany Birch's trip currently still on. We also want to let you know that the Rook dinner, which was scheduled for March 28th, has been called off. There's currently not a date for that to have been rescheduled. We also want to let you know that starting tomorrow, there's going to be a new series of videos that the pastors will put out three times a week. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, one of the pastors is going to put out a brief, about 5-minute video offering some kind of devotional thought or spiritual reflection of some kind. We know that during this season of disconnection and isolation, we want to be extra intentional to communicate more often and more regularly, particularly on matters related to faith and spiritual matters. So this is just one thing that we're going to try. These spiritual reflections, three times a week. We'll post them on the church website, also on the church Facebook page. So be looking for those. The hope is to get them up by noon every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That'll start tomorrow, so look for that. Another thing we want to share with you is that as of this week, the church is now subscribed to Zoom for a Zoom account. Zoom is an online video conferencing tool that allows folks to meet virtually. And so we recognize that we can't be together in person, but there is value in seeing one another, in interacting, in having discussion, and in connecting with one another. And so that Zoom account allows us to do that. This will be really useful for meetings that still need to take place, but we would also say for any Sunday school classes, Bible fellowship groups, small groups, any gathering in the church, this would be a really helpful thing if you want to get your group together to meet online in a virtual setting. We have the capability to do that. So we encourage you to take advantage of that, and we are more than happy to coach you and to teach you and to walk you through how to use that tool. And then one other thing we want to speak just briefly with you about here this morning is related to finances and to giving. One of the things that we are acutely aware of is that this crisis will impact many people financially. As a church, we are already aware of ways that that is starting to happen. And as a church, we believe this is one of the ways that we can support and bless one another during this time. And so this might be review for some of you, but I think it is helpful to say we have a couple of funds that are already in place to help people in need of financial assistance. One of those is called our Sharing Fund. That is primarily for church members. And so if you're a member of our faith community here at Franconia and are facing financial issues, please know that we have a Sharing Fund in place that is available and set up to offer assistance. We also have a fund called the Community Needs Fund. This is similar kind of deal, but for those who are not part of the church community. And then I'll just say there's been discussion among the pastors and the board about creating a new fund, a kind of COVID-19 emergency response fund. The details of that are still being worked at. We're excited about the possibility. We will let you know more details if and when that becomes finalized. But the reason that we are able to do those kinds of things, the reason we're able to support the needs of those in our faith family and in our community during times like this is because of the generosity of you, our congregation. And so we just want to thank you for that. Thank you for the ways that you have been such a generous church. And we would invite you and encourage you to continue being generous during this time. As we said at the beginning, the work of the church goes on, and frankly, we anticipate that this aspect of the church's ministry is going to expand in the coming months. So in order for us to continue being the generous church that we believe God has called us to be, a few folks have asked us already, how can giving continue when we are not meeting together, when we're not receiving an offering? And so just very quickly, we want to highlight three ways that you can continue giving as God leads you. One is you can write a check and simply mail it to the church. That would work really well. A second way is you could participate in regular electronic giving. I'll just share, that's what Kim and I do. That's what our family does. We have it set up with our bank that on a certain day every month, a certain amount of money just automatically transfers to the church. That way we never miss an offering. To set that up, you can just simply contact Monique in the church office. She will walk you through that. Very easy to set up those automatic payments. There is actually also an app you can download to manage and set that up if you would prefer to go that route. And then finally, the third way that you could give would be to go online and to do like a one-time gift. So rather than a recurring electronic transaction, you can go to the church website and do just sort of one-time gifts if that's what you would prefer. And of course, for all of those ways, you can designate if there are specific places that you want those funds to go. So we share all of that information with you, especially this last piece on finances, partly because you have been asking about it, partly because we want to continue being a generous church during these times of need, and partly because we believe that giving is part of our spiritual formation. And so as a church, we want to continue discipling all of us in that way. At this time, I'm going to invite Pastor Larry and Donna Godshaw to come share an update from the Liberia team that recently returned from their trip.
Good morning. Yes, Donna and I would like to give a brief update and greeting from Liberia. Except for Eric Boya, our team arrived back safely less than 2 weeks ago. But we are all safe, we're all healthy, praise the Lord, and we're doing well. And we're praying that Eddie will be able to find a way to come home very soon. We did have a wonderful time in Liberia. We were greeted warmly and we were treated like kings and queens. It was a marvelous experience. We bring greetings from our brothers and sisters there, particularly from the three congregations to which we relate more closely. Pastor Wittel and the people of Bethel Sanctuary of Faith send their love and greetings to you. This is the church that David and Martha Zogar started back in the late 90s. We also bring greetings from Bishop Ba and Phineas Wergar from Gethsemane Church of Christ and the brothers and sisters there. They send their warm love and greetings and words of appreciation, as well as Pastor Ciro and his wife Anita with Bible Life International Ministries and the folks that are there. And we want to say thanks to you, the congregation, for your prayers and for your financial support, both for us while we were over in Liberia for our trip and also for our ongoing partnership programs and ministries that we have there. And at this time, Donna will share a few words as well.
It truly was a wonderful trip to visit our brothers and sisters in Liberia. We saw God alive and working among the people of Liberia, and we experienced many holy moments while we were there. I bring back greetings, especially to all of the ladies at Franconia Mennonite Church. Our sisters in Liberia are incredible women, and they are full of joy. They worship with enthusiasm, and they give very generously out of what they have. They were very grateful for the banners that you sent. Thank you to all of you who took the time to sign your names to those banners. Our sisters in Liberia loved them, and I actually saw a couple of them hanging on church walls already before we even left. Jeff and I have already heard from folks in Liberia multiple times since we have been back home, and they assure us that they are praying for God's protection during this challenging time of dealing with the coronavirus. And in this last week, they now have their first confirmed cases of the virus in Liberia too. And I know that they will appreciate your prayers as well. Thank you for all the prayers, as Larry said, that you offered for the team. As we traveled to Liberia, we could feel your support and your care as we covered many, many miles. And we certainly look forward to sharing more about our experience there and also showing you pictures just as soon as that can be scheduled.
Good morning. This morning's scripture will be read from Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And also from 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
Thank you, Bronwyn, for reading those wonderful scripture passages for our meditation this morning. If you listened carefully, you heard a word that was repeated a number of times. That word is hope. My definition of hope is faith leaning toward the future. Hope takes faith and projects it toward the future, even into eternity. Last Sunday, Pastor Josh shared a wonderful meditation on the coronavirus and faith, a pastoral word on faith and coronavirus. If you haven't watched it yet, it's worth it. Do so. Practical and spiritually rich. This morning is a continuation of that message. Hope is faith leaning into the future. The fireworks of the coronavirus, the worldwide fireworks of the coronavirus, are exploding around us. Quarantine, getting laid off, stock market crash, businesses closed, schools shuttered, hoarding toilet paper, desperate scenes in intensive care units, dreadful headlines, government orders, fear of contagion and death. All the fireworks, drama, and immediate frenzy can dominate our lives. But let's remember how different is the sun the moon, the stars and galaxies. Remember how different they are than the fireworks. The sun, stars, and galaxies are larger, older, brighter, and much more enduring. They remind us of God, eternal creator, loving redeemer, constant comfort. They remind us of our own origins and our promised future. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Real hope, the kind that calms us in desperate times and enables us to lean into the future, is rooted in God. It's bigger, richer, deeper than positive thinking or optimism. Real hope is not primarily a human emotion. Real hope is more than human achievement. It is a spiritual gift. Josh talked about gift at the beginning of this service. Real hope is a gift and a virtue bestowed upon us by God, God upon his children. In what follows, I'd like to offer a brief meditation on hope. In this moment of contagion, fireworks, how do we position ourselves and look to receive God's gift of hope? I'd like to suggest four postures for us. This has actually been a theme of my life's ministry, hope. I've adapted this meditation in various times and places, sometimes personally difficult, sometimes largely community difficult, sometimes in congregations. Hope is faith leaning into the future. A very simple acrostic, each letter of the phrases spell hope. First of all, hold on to the promises of God. The Bible tells a true story about a God who makes and keeps promises to Abraham and Sarah. Your descendants will be many, even though they had no children, they were childless. This land, you're now a sojourner, this land will be yours. Through you, all of the world will be blessed. Then to Moses and the children of Israel, God promised, I will never leave you or forsake you, even in the desert place where you're not sure what's going to be happening the next day. The prophets take God's promise about a new covenant, a Messiah, and extend it out into a hopeful future. Then, of course, in Jesus, Messiah, the promised Messiah, we hear him saying, whoever believes in me won't perish, but will receive eternal life, life that is full and good. I will send you the Holy Spirit, he says. I will prepare a place for you. I love this verse from 2 Corinthians, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Hold on to the promises of God. As a young man, I lived for a while in Switzerland, and one early spring day, it was very foggy across the countryside, but we heard on the radio that the top of Mount Pilatus was clear. So we decided to hike up the mountain. It was foggy, drizzly, and rainy, but we had the promise of a clear summit. We took our way up that pathway, got off the pathway. It was actually kind of dangerous, but I'll never forget what it was like to step out of the clouds onto the summit and to be able to see for miles. The promise that we heard about a clear summit made the journey through the fog endurable and promising. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. I can hear the tune in my head as I say it. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. Hold on to the promises of God. Obey God and walk in His ways. Obedience is hope for a better future that is acted out in the here and now. Following God's values, standards, and instructions is an investment into an uncertain future because we have His promises and our hope is in Him. Obey God and walk in His ways. Imagine a bird watcher who wants to catch sight of a rare bird that he or she has heard is in a nearby marsh or forest. Only a fool will go crashing through the brush and splashing through the marsh because the bird will be long gone. The wise obey the rules, the rhythms, the patterns of the forest and the wetland. The wise obey and get in sync with the surroundings and will be much more likely to be rewarded with the glimpse of the prize. This is obedience. Eugene Peterson describes the Christian life as a long obedience in the same direction. I like that phrase. And since we've been made right with God, to those who have been made right with God through faith and have peace with God, as Bronwyn read from Romans chapter 5, let us then boast, rejoice in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. Not only that, let us also boast, rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is a kind of virtuous circle through suffering that the Apostle Paul speaks about. It begins in the hope that comes to us through salvation in Christ Jesus. It gives us an ability to enter into suffering and to find meaning and hope in suffering and help us endure in the middle of that, to follow along, to go, to hang in there, which over time builds character within us, which returns back and increases the hope that we have. This is true for obeying government and medical directives in the present health crisis as well. I was irritated this week with the dismissive attitude of a young man on spring break in Daytona. If I get corona, I get corona, he said with rosy cheeks. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying. Obedience and compliance for our own good, for the good of our loved ones, for the good of others, the common good, is a hopeful way of planting for the future. Participate with others in hope. It's almost impossible to be hopeful very long yourself. Isolation and loneliness contribute to despair and depression. We need each other to sustain hope. We need to continue to connect with each other, to stay hopeful in times of coronavirus. Hebrews 10. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised, there it is again, is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on together, on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. We're doing it virtually, but we are doing it. It is the people of God connecting together that is the church. Let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. One of the hardest things about the current crisis is the way that we cannot gather together here in this space. It's just not the same with an empty room. But we are gathering and we're meeting together like this. And we as Christians continue to need to find ways of connecting, helping and serving others, sometimes at risk to ourselves. I hope that the current crisis brings out the best in us. I particularly like the words that Pastor Larry shared in a text with us other pastors this week. He said, "A lot of people are frightened in these uncertain times. I pray that we can be steady and helpful and hopeful for them." Steady. Helpful. Hopeful. Good words. Participating with others in hope. Terrible plagues and epidemics were quite common during the Roman Empire. They were much more deadly and terrifying than today. And the first Christians, the early Christians, saw themselves as disciples of Christ, the household of God. They did not flee the plagues. They stayed and served. This story is told by Rodney Stark in his book, The Rise of Christianity. This sacrificial love, burying the dead, caring for the sick, when others ran away or barricaded themselves, became part of the costly witness that helped the gospel, the good news of Jesus, spread throughout the Roman Empire. One Christian writer put it this way: "When this plague, this present plague, is past, what will our neighbors remember of us? Will they remember that Christians took immediate, decisive action to protect the vulnerable? Will they remember that being prepared and free from panic, the households of their Christian neighbors were able to visit and provide for the needy and bring hope? Will they remember that by worshiping and praising God from week to week, we made clear that serving and worshiping God was the greatest and most essential task of our lives?" Andy Crouch. And let us exchange attachment to this world for hope of life eternal. On Friday afternoon, I was on a Zoom video conference with several other pastoral colleagues in Franconia Conference. And Governor Wolf had just put down the order the day before about closing all non-life-sustaining businesses in Pennsylvania. And I know this affects a number of you in some very direct and scary ways. I was relieved to see that religious organizations were given the green light as vital and life-sustaining, and I actually said to my pastoral colleagues, "We're in the eternal life-sustaining business. We want to gather. We want to speak. We want to act steady, helpful, and hopeful." And the text that Bronwyn read undergirds it all. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. The hope that is ours through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a great gift from God to those who believe. Human life is fragile and short. We are being reminded of that. That has always been the case. The hope of eternal life changes the way that we deal with adversity and suffering right now. It gives us an eternal perspective. that this life is not the whole story. It's not even the main story. This life, in the midst of the coronavirus, is an opportunity to discover what is real and lasting. It is an invitation to turn to God, turn toward a God revealed in the face of Jesus, to exchange what will fade and die for what stands and lives forever. If you don't have the peace that is spoken about in the scriptures and in the passages that we read, the peace and assurance of life eternal through faith in Christ Jesus, if you are terrified by this coronavirus, terrified of death, let me say to you, God knows and understands how we are made. He remembers that we are dust, but He is eternal. He is life and love and truth and peace, enabling us to live and walk through the valley of the shadow of death without fear. I invite you to consider whether you want to take another look at God. Look into the face of Jesus. Hear the invitation. Whoever looks at me in faith and comes to me in faith, I will offer life full here and now and life eternal. How do we position ourselves to receive God's gift of hope in this time of coronavirus? Hold on to the promises of God. Obey God and walk in His ways. Participate with others in hope. Exchange attachment to this world for hope of life eternal. This kind of hope from God is bigger, richer, deeper than positive thinking or optimism. Hope is God's precious gift that better things are yet to come. Hope is faith leaning obediently in the company of others toward an everlasting future that God promises. I invite you to just repeat those phrases after me. Hope is faith leaning obediently.
Hope is faith leaning obediently.
In the company of others.
Toward an everlasting future
that God promises. Amen.
Amen.
This is the hope that we ourselves can receive from God. As we go throughout our day today and our week, take these words with you. This hope that Pastor Mark spoke about this morning gives us strength to persevere in our spiritual growth with joy, despite the difficult and painful circumstances we may face. Go in peace.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His loving face, stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone. solid rock I stand.